Hey guys, Rashid Phillips here, and welcome to the Entro Podcast. Entro Podcast is a podcast that introduces you to entrepreneurs in various stages of their entrepreneurial journey. Now, this episode you're about to listen to is actually a recording of a live session I had with Mr. KJ Kearney. If you're unfamiliar with KJ, maybe you're familiar with Black Food Fridays. Black Food Fridays was created and launched by KJ Kearney April 5th, 2020, literally right as the global pandemic was getting crazy. KJ does a wonderful job of showcasing various Black-owned businesses within the food space. We're talking restaurants, mom and pops, liquor, distributors, and so much more. If you haven't and aren't, please visit his website, blackfoodfridays.com, or check him out on social media. It is Black Food Fridays everywhere. Now, this conversation started because KJ made a post in regards to the perception of cost versus value, and there was no way I could let that go without us having a conversation. And this went on for a little over an hour. It is cram-packed with so many gems. All I can say is just listen in. Just listen in. If you're looking to get into the food space, if you're a business, if you're looking for pricing, we cover almost all of that in this recording. So please listen in, enjoy. I can't wait to hear your feedback on it. And if you've enjoyed this, I'll definitely make sure more of these type of, you know, off the wall conversations, no planning or anything like that occur. But without further ado, enjoy the conversation between myself and Mr. KJ Kearney of Black Food Fridays.
How you doing?
I'm wonderful. I'm glad we were able to make this work, man.
Yeah, man. Your schedule is just about as constant as mine.
Not even close, but I appreciate that.
It's like, oh, I got this. I'm in a community meeting. All right, bet. Cool, let's go. Now I got this other meeting. Cool. I'm at this coffee shop. Hey.
You just happened to catch me in the one part of my life where I had a lot going on.
It's all right. It's okay. You know, we're productive people. You know, we're
absolutely. I was interviewed on a podcast recently, and some dude was like, "Oh yeah, I know you booked and busy," and I was like, I rebuked that, bro. I'm not trying to be booked and busy. I just want to be booked, not busy.
Mm-mm. I get that.
If I can do in 5 gigs what it would take me 30 gigs to do, get the same amount of money, that's what I'm trying to do. I'm not trying to be out here grinding for the sake of grinding.
You know what? Straight up. I'm not mad at that because I get that perspective, you know. Mm-hmm. Like people are like, "Oh, you're so busy." I'm like, "Nope. I'm always productive because you're busy, get nothing done." Mm-hmm. That when I'm done with my time, you can see something at the end of it. I know a lot of busy guys that have nothing.
So. Come on, somebody.
So, I guess to my audience, to yours, and vice versa, who are you?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
I think this is our first time on my end. I've jumped on.
Yeah, yours. That's true. My name is KJ Kearney. I'm a native of North Charleston, South Carolina. I currently still live here. And I run the James Beard nominated social media account called Black Food Fridays, where our goal is to encourage everyone to support Black-owned food and beverage makers every single Friday. And anything related to Black food culture, we're posting on it, we're speaking on it, we're sharing other businesses that people can support. So, yeah, that's what I do.
I love it. And I love it. I was like, please put in there, Jay. You got to put it in there.
Got to put it in there now. Can I see Keisha in the comments? So you got to put it in there. You're right. You got to put it in there.
You have to, because that's big. It's very big. That's big for us. You. Like when I saw that, I was like, I felt like I won.
You know?
I started working on an acceptance speech. I was like, I want that.
I mean, it was disappointing not to come back with the award.
Yeah, yeah.
The person who won, though, she 1,000% deserved to win. So I'm not mad that I lost to her. I just, you know, after you get out of college, if you go to college, there's not a whole lot of opportunities to win trophies. So, you know, I haven't won a trophy in a long time, and I want to look.
Got Employee of the Month.
That's it, baby.
Better Homes and Garden, just tend to that
right. Right. So I wanted the trophy, but what I found out was just me being in the room was the win. You know what I mean? Like, the people who I got to meet and that I didn't realize knew who I was. You know what I mean? Like, that was the win.
Mm. Yeah. Trust me, I know all about losses and all that jazz.
Touche. Absolutely.
So on the next note, you know, but yeah, you're right. Being in that room and being around the peers, and especially when it's a room full of people that you look up to, right? Mm-hmm. Look up to is where everyone looks up to me. I'm a giant, but I mean, people that you respect their craft and what they do.
Right.
And going to that room and they're like, hey, we know who you are already. You don't have to introduce yourself. Like, how do you know who I am? And why do you know? Like, that's just weird. But, you know.
I'm still getting used to that. I'm not going to lie. Like, I'm used to being known, like, in my city or in my state even, right? Like, I'm used to people knowing who I am. But, like, when I'm in D.C. or Baltimore or Orlando or somebody is like, oh, you're that black food dude. I'm like, okay, shit. Like, no, I am. I forgot.
I love it because I'm still not used to it. After all these years, I'm not.
Yeah.
Like, the trippiest, like, hey, you're Rashid. Like, not even the barbecue dude. Like, it gets to a point where you stop being the black food dude. Mm. I'm KJ. And then when that happens, that throws you for a whole different loop. And you're like, oh, dang, I don't even, what? Like, they don't even call you by your Instagram handle, the real name.
That's real.
Yeah. I was in Aruba filming some stuff, and I was leaving where they had me staying. I was waiting for my ride to the airport, and like this car keeps looping around. I'm like, what is going on here? It's like, is that my ride? Do they not know? Kid darts out of it, like not Mission Impossible style, just comes over to me and like, yo, are you okay? Like, yeah. I start thinking, first, do you need help? He was like, no, you're Rashid. I was like, yes. With a question mark, like, how do you know who I am, little child? Like 12. And he pulls up the phone and he's like, I'm watching you. It's like, I want to cook like you. I was like, oh, damn. Wow.
Damn.
Man. Oh,
that's like, real.
Like, one in the afternoon. No, it was one of those. So
Yeah. That's outstanding. For real.
You work for it, brother. You definitely work for it. You earned it. And I think somebody put in there in the chat a minute ago that there's going to be plenty more of those nominations and wins and real adult trophies. Because see, you know, all-star in high school, whatever. Right. Give me some stuff with the accolades that I've run, you know. Artists, you know, influencer that's doing this, or activists or philanthropists. You get all of those crystals. Knock those trophies off. Get those nice crystal awards. Cause that's
there we go.
Blacks.
Yeah. I'm not mad at that, man. I'll say this. I don't take it lightly that I'm in this position. And more importantly, I'm glad that it's happening when it's happening. Because I know that if I would have like had a piece of celebrity in my early 20s, bro, I'd have been insufferable, right? I would have been the worst. I would have ended up on Behind the Music or whatever, bro. Like, for real. So,
VH1, where are they now?
Exactly. And so, like, the fact that all this stuff is happening, I'm not old, but, like, at this older age, I'm appreciative. So, you know, if it took 5 more years for me to get on, fine. Whenever it happens, it's going to happen. And then the rest of my life, you know, is living a life that I designed. And I don't care if I only get 10 of them years on this earth. That's what I'm working towards. And I'm glad I get to work towards that opportunity by just uplifting my own people. Not even nothing crazy.
and you're not doing anything wild.
Right. And
my question to you is, when it all hit, right? It came incrementally. Really, you weren't looking for it. It just happened because you were doing the thing, mm-hmm. and kept focusing on the thing, on the task, and then everything came because you were just doing that. If you weren't doing, nothing would have happened.
I like that, and I think people hit me up all the time asking me influencer questions, and I try to like direct people to those who actually coach. Because, mm-hmm. you know, I don't want to tell you no information that worked for me and then it don't work for you. And now you all, fuck KJ, he sucks. I don't want that in my life. So, but when people ask me, like, how was I able to do this so quickly? I tell them, like, it's a very non-sexy answer and it's consistency. Like, mm-hmm. I've posted stuff that people ask me to take down, right? Like, sometimes I post something that gets a whole lot of views or a whole lot of, you know, and somebody's like, take that down. Take it down. I've posted pretty much every day for two years and like 2 months. So just think about doing one thing every single day. I'm at the point now where people expect me. Like Thanos said, I'm almost inevitable in some people's minds. Yeah. And that's a lot of work, bro. Like that's a lot of pressure and work. But fortunately, I'm enjoying what I'm doing, and I'm having the opportunity to connect with cool people like yourself. So
not that cool.
Well, at least on the internet, you're cool. So how about that?
I'll take it. I'm winning as hell in real life. I don't know.
Well, listen, all the cornballs are winning, bro. Like. What people called us corny for when we was in like middle school and high school, that shit hot now, bro. Like being smart, being educated, you know, traveling to multiple countries, eating all this weird food or food that was considered weird when we were like, all that's hot now. So we've been had practice.
It is like I remember. Like I'm gonna double back to your first one, but I remember like I never had a pants. Sagging phase. I never had a phase. I never had any. I always came like runner up for best dressed and I did my parents, no matter what it was. So, like, and you know, back then that was like, ain't no one wanted. Where are your forces? I've never owned a pair of Air Forces or Jordans in my life. I'm a size.
Ever?
I'm a size.
Wow.
I'm a size 15. It's expensive.
Okay. Okay. Like,
even now, still not doing it. I'm working my Doc Martens. I'm resoling my boots. I'm polishing them. Nah, it's not.
Doc Martens are horrible for your feet in real life, though.
In real life, they are if you don't get the right insert and foot molds, which I do.
Okay. I see you leveling up, baby. I see you.
The little things, man. I got to keep my lumberjack aesthetic on point.
Word. You know what? And that's something I don't have to consider because at no part would anybody ask me to do anything with a hog or with wood or with an axe or with fire. So, yeah, you got a certain look to maintain, bro.
Yeah, it's an affordable look. Everyone's like, oh, no. Like, I did a charity ball gala. I was invited in Central Park in December. I'll be back there again this December. And I think that was the first time my audience ever saw me like in a suit. I was suited. Mm-hmm. They're like, is that you? I was like, yeah, I clean up. I own things outside of jeans and axes, you know? But that's my thing, just a lumberjack. That's what it is. So,
I feel you, bro. I'm trying to be as maximally comfortable at all times. So like at the James Beard Award, I wore a big like kente pattern caftan.
Mm.
You know what I mean? I'm really digging that right now. Like I don't know if it's cultural appropriation, but I'm about to get my caftan kente on because it's like flowy and the fabric breathes and it's like, yo, I'm doing that. I'm wearing that. And they come with hats, some of them, dog. You get the hat too, bro.
There's this company, shout out to them. I believe their name is Diope, Black Apparel Brand, Diop, D-I-O-P. Shout out to them on stage. They make these dope printed aprons, different apparel, shirts, like dashiki style, real free and real loose. You know, I was like, man, so I'm going to send you their info, but shout out to Diop. They're good people.
Word.
I wanted to circle back on what you said earlier, that you get a lot of people messaging you, asking you how you did this.
Mm-hmm.
For an answer that's going to save them time. Like you said, it's not sexy, it's consistency. It took you 2 years and 2 months to get where you are now, doing the exact same thing every single day. And that was the part that got me. People want to get from A to B or A to Z by doing something different all the time. I'm like, no, you just have to do that one thing over. Mm-hmm. And
yeah.
I lost weight. I ran every single day for a year and a half.
Wow.
Hate running. Ain't no runner's high. People get high and then they run. That's what it is. Mm-hmm. There's no, but I lost weight. I ran every single day. It's not great. It wasn't amazing. It was horrible, but that's what it took. And I had a couple of guys in the last week, like, it's been heavy. How do you get, you know, these sponsorships? How do you get these partnership deals? How did you get your blue check mark? And I always tell them, like, one, the blue check, I didn't even know I had it. My sisters called and gave me shit. That's how I found out.
Mm.
I was like, hello. They're like, oh, Mr. Hollywood answered his phone. I'm like, what are you talking about? So you got, you know, talking about you. I was like, I had no idea. So that's how I found that out.
Word.
But as far as like the partnership deals, what I try to explain to them is just do that thing and don't worry about trying to get that. Because if you're doing it to get that deal, it's not going to happen. It doesn't work that way. If someone finds you, they'll find you.
Right. And I think something else to keep in mind is there's something different about you and I, right? There are millions of people on Instagram right now, right? There are millions of accounts right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's easier to get into the NBA than it is to become famous off social media. You know what I mean? Like, just the numbers are not in your favor. And that's another reason why, to your point, you got to pick something that you really like, something that you're going to stick with regardless of whether you get famous or not. Mm-hmm. And so that consistency will help weed you, well, not weed you out, but weed others out from around you. And then more importantly, having something interesting to say, I think. Yeah. Also, that's like the two part. So there's some people who can be consistent every day, but they don't have no pizzazz, right? Like, they know, ain't no razzle dazzle to them. And exactly. Unfortunately, there's no course that I know that gives you the sauce, right? Like, you either got it or you don't got it. So even on top of being consistent, there just has to be something distinguishing about you. You know what I mean? Because people don't have to watch our videos, bro. Like, they don't have to do nothing. None of this is promised to us, bro. Like, don't nobody have to reshare my videos? Don't nobody have to, like, watch what my lives? Nobody has to do that. So the fact that people choose to is a testament to them thinking that there's something interesting about me. And I wish I could take credit for it, to be like, I was lame up until 2012 and I decided I'm not going to be lame no more. No, bro, I'm still the same nerd from high school. And middle school, I used to get beat up for this stuff. It just so happens that you live long enough, in this case, not to be the villain, but to become the hero. So, you know, you can't judge. A lot of this stuff just happens. You're right. It absolutely just happens.
And it's easier to believe that there's a secret formula than if you just work hard, you can get there. Mm-hmm. Known fact, I did not want to do the TV show.
Word.
I turned the show down for like 6 months.
Really?
Didn't want to do the show.
Okay.
Didn't want to do it. And now everyone's like, I need a show. How do I get on this? How do I get that? Like, why? Because that's always my question. I don't tell them how to get there. I'm like, why do you want that? Because that I need to get to the root of it. Why do you want a blue check? Why do you want the partnership deal? Well, I want the partnership deal so I can, and that's usually where the conversation ends. Or I'm tired of, or sometimes I'm tired of paying for wood. I'm tired of paying for coal. I want to be put on. I'm like, so what I'm hearing is you're looking for a shortcut instead of investing in your business, because that's what paying for investing in your business. And if you're running a business, you need those expenses, because the thing you want to do as a business is get a lump sum of a product that helps you make money, and you don't claim it on your taxes like you're supposed to, then you're hemmed up. Maybe not this or next tax season, but they come and get you. Like, there's a lot that happens with going into this world of partnerships. And it was like, oh yeah, I want to do this. I'm like, well, who owns this? If you do it, who owns it? Are you confident enough? Are you intelligent enough to understand that if you do this, they own that digital footprint for the rest of eternity? So, and you gave that up just for a couple bags of X, Y, and Z?
Right. Is that, you know, what though? You know what though? At the same time, I want to add a little bit of nuance to this, right? Because everything you're saying, I agree with. Also though, I think there's something to be said about knowing your Kelly Blue Book value.
Ooh.
And what I mean by that is, when I first started Black Food Fridays, I remember who Bakari Sellers, believe it or not, was the first person to give money to me for me to do Black Food Fridays type things. This dude's on CNN. I didn't know him. Like, I mean, I knew who he was, but I didn't know him. Yeah. He gave me bread. And then my first partnership was actually with a white woman-led hot sauce company, right? Because, like, they believed in what I was doing when I had, like, 3,200 followers. You know what I mean? Like, when I wasn't really – I didn't have the numbers, but I had that je ne sais quoi, I guess. And so – you know, like, it's, I really do wish that there was a way for people to experience what it's like getting what they want. Cause, like, sometimes this shit is not cool, bro.
No, it's not.
Sometimes getting what you want is not actually cool. And if you don't have a North Star, like my homegirl Mamie tells me, you know, Black Food Fridays has a North Star. So having a North Star allows me to figure out, like, what partnerships are worth it and what partnerships are not, because I know where I'm trying to get to at the end. If my whole goal was just to get bread, bro, you know how many deals I could have signed by now, bro? I'd be too rich to even talk to you right now, bro. I'd be like, oh, we got to schedule this to my assistant.
No, trust me, I got hands like that. They're my right hand guys and what have you. But you know, I still build a filter, because I learned you can't be too accessible, right?
Yeah.
and yeah, for every Toyota commercial, for every Home Depot banner or billboard people see, I promise you, there's 20 to 25 no's that I gave instead of those. And it's not even monetized. I have turned down exorbitant sums of money because they're like, yeah, we just want you to do this. I'm like, I don't believe in that at all. And two, I refuse to be your token Black guy. That's the other part of the puzzle. I don't know if you know, KJ, but I'm gonna put you on some. Being Black is very good for business right now. It's, you know, if I didn't see it at the last community rally, but
well, I appreciate that. Thank you for the heads up.
Heavy in melanin is heavy in pockets these days. And I refuse to be that, because I remember, and I hang on to this, and it's been somewhat rectified since, but I remember a brand telling me that I wasn't the face they wanted representing them. I remember that. And boy, I'm too petty to let that go. So, my face everywhere. I'm one stop away from having my own line of toilet paper. Y'all better calm down. You're going to see me everywhere. I'm going to be cleaning up your shit for life. Come on.
Word.
But yeah, there's a delicate balance to all this, and I feel like it's a great segue into why we're even on here in the first place, and that's because you posted earlier that I was just like, "Oof, he better be ready because they're gonna come for him after this goes up, and it's been up for about 48 hours." It's made me recall an interaction that I had, but I want you to tell that synopsis of that post that you made.
Yeah, so the short version is I post a reel today that asked out loud to other Black people, do we actually want Black excellence in the culinary space? Because of the work I do, anytime I post something that a Black person in the food or beverage space is doing that is elevated in price, let's just say, I'm guaranteed to get a slew of comments of, that shouldn't cost that much, I would never pay that much, I can do that for less, blah, 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 yakety schmackety. Well, in particular, what happened recently was this young lady named Jocelyn, who runs an account called Grand Baby Cakes, just signed a deal with Williams Sonoma, which is absolutely huge for a Black woman who primarily cooks and bakes out of her home to get a deal with Williams Sonoma. That's huge, man. And so she's releasing a series of cakes, and her cakes are priced between $100 and $130. And Black people are giving her shit about it. And I'm like, you know, there's separate conversations going around the same topic. So one of the conversations is, it's an individual decision on what something is worth, right? Like, I'm a sneakers guy. So whereas you've never owned Jordans, I mean, I'll buy a pair of sneakers right now for $250 and not blink. You know what I mean? Like, that's normal to me. But that's not normal to everyone, right? So there's a question of individual value. And then there's, second of all, a collectivism, right? Like, that's the gift and the curse of being a part of the African diaspora, is that we are, in some ways, like, our boats all rise with each other, right? And so for a Black woman like that to get that opportunity, if you don't want to pay $120, that is a individual question of value. But yes, to like outright say, yo, this ain't worth that, or I would never pay that, like, it don't cost you nothing to just like not like the post, right? Like, you could just keep it moving.
Kept scrolling. You didn't have to say nothing. Just kept it moving right there.
DM your homegirl and be like, girl, she tripping. $129 for a cake? I would never. Fine.
Go get a bundle. Cool.
Right. Fine. Do what you want to. But, you know, anyway, so the question was just an overall question of, what is it about us that has, at least when it comes to the culinary world, we have an artificial limit of what a Black person is allowed to get or charge, yeah, right? And so once your product gets over that line, that artificial line in our mind, we lose it for some reason. We don't do it with Gucci. We don't do it with Mike Amiri. We don't do it with Polo or Tory Burch or any of them. But like, when it's our own stuff, there's like a number in our head. And once you get up on that number, unless you're Beyonce, like, there's very few people who can just charge what they want to and nobody says anything. Yeah. But there's a line. And so I just asked out loud today, why does that line exist? And why does it exist for you individually? And the comments have been cordial and enlightening at the same time. So yeah, it was a good dialogue. It could have gone left. You're right, though. It could have gone very left.
Quick. Because I saw that, I immediately jumped, was like, ooh, this is a whole lesson in itself. And that's why I wanted us to get on, because I came across this in my own family. Once I started the business and we got our footing, and like you said, you're used to being known in your city and in your state because we're hood famous. I'd much rather be hood famous than world renowned any day.
Right.
I love going through my hood and my neighborhood and my community, all that, and I'm good there. It's impactful, but I was having a talk with my stepdad, and he was asking, like, I was prepping for an event, and he was like, how much are your plates running or whatever? And I can't even remember the exact price at the time. I think it was like $28 or $29. He's like, oh, that's too expensive. Stepdad is also Jamaican, military, all that, New York, same traditional black Jamaican guy.
Yeah.
That's too much. Why don't you make it cheaper, you know, so everybody can afford it? And I told him, why do I have to lower my value so everyone can partake? Why can't everyone try to do better to enjoy something that I put effort into?
And also, and I think because of this collectivism that exists, that we didn't create, by the way, it's just in us to be. It's not like we have any control over this. We love each other and we want to see everybody win. We want to be a part of everybody's thing.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's okay for something to not be for you. You know what I mean? Like, yes. Prime example, the family reunion going on in Middlesbrough, Virginia, right? Yeah. Chef Kwame.
Out to Brian Furman, B. He's going to be over there.
Yeah. Like, it's like $5,000 to be there. You did?
Oh, yeah.
And I 100% see someone's argument that $5,000 is a lot of money, but also it's okay if it's not accessible to everybody, right? Like, I'm okay with things not being for me. Right now, I am not the consumer that Bugatti is looking for, and I get that, right? You know what I mean? I understand that, but I think when it comes to food, sometimes black people, especially, we don't look at what you do as art, right? We look at what you do as something my daddy could do, my uncle could do, and you know, my granddaddy been grilling forever, right? Like, so in the culinary space, we kind of devalue the art form that is being a barbecue pitmaster or being a baker of of a certain standing, or being some kind of other chef, right? Like, for us, cooking is cooking. And there's just a line that we won't allow each other to pass. And I think that we are kind of hindering the future of black food by sticking so rigid to, like, these arbitrary lines and boundaries and boxes that we've created for ourselves. And price is one of those things.
Yeah, agreed.
In my opinion.
No, I completely agree, because there have been points where I can literally count on one hand. The business officially became official, taxes, all that, in 2016, so 6 years. I can count on one hand how many people have come up to me and said, that's too much. And two that immediately popped up was, these two guys came up, they asked, I was doing what I call a pitmaster potato, which was a baked potato, but instead of bacon and cheese and all that, it was a smoked potato with pulled pork, mac and cheese, and it was topped with a rib, called it my pitmaster potato. Because I know, right? My man. I get down. You know, I don't know if you've seen, I was on this, never mind. So he said, That's a lot for that. And I said, you've spent more and gotten less. I'll let you know right now, if you don't enjoy it, get your money back. Smashed it. Got another one. And one was a lady who showed up when she saw the prices displayed before the event starts. She's like, oh, I was going to go come over and order some plates. But this is way too much money. Like, you're never going to sell out. I wish I had a real life SpongeBob 1 hour later. So everything gone.
I don't understand. You know what? Jay-Z mentioned something in an interview a long time ago. And I think it was at the Breakfast Club, where he was basically, and I'm paraphrasing, he was like, sometimes people don't even realize that they're projecting their insecurities or their lack of confidence, right? They think they're protecting you. They think they're saving you from embarrassment. Nah, you're saving yourself from embarrassment, because you would be embarrassed if you put a $20 price on this and you only sold three of them, right? Like, that's your shame. Don't try to put that on me, bro. Like, I don't think that way. I think that if I charge $20, my problem is going to be having enough. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Versus, like, ain't nobody coming. So, yeah, fear. And I want to make sure I want to be holistic about my answer here. Like, yeah, I do think we hold each other down. But, A, there are systemic reasons why we think the way we think. Right. Sure. There are real reasons why we think the way we think. And a lot of that ain't got nothing to do with us. Right. It's trauma that we're carrying over. Yeah. Number two, Black people make less money than almost anybody in this country. You feel me? So when you go out to eat as a Black person, that $15 for a lot of our brothers and sisters is a sacred $15. And the ideal of, like, stretching that budget from 15 to 27 is, like, you know, like, that's a real fear that our brothers and sisters, some of our brothers and sisters have to go through.
Yeah.
But on top of all that, understanding all of that, there are a lot of us who can spend. And somebody said this in my comments, that a person who says, I wouldn't spend that money on that cake is really saying, I'm not worth that much money. Like, I'm not worth a $100 cake. I'm not worth a $27, you know, bowl or whatever, you know, that you got going. That's what you're really saying. I never thought of it from that perspective. But that shit blew me away, bro. It was like, damn, I'm not worth. I wonder if there's some truth to that, bro.
Well, the thing is too, like, you're right. And what you're referencing, for those who are interested to look it up, you can just look up Jay-Z talking about his uncle. That's who he was talking about. That his
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Acting on, and he put it in the lyrics. He's like, "You'll never sell a million records. I sell a million records times." Yo, Jay-Z should run a business class at Harvard. It'll put you all on game. I'm not this smart, right? Harvard actually offers free classes. This is not a plug. You can go. Yeah. Google and off go to Harvard X. It is online classing for businesses, for everything they teach at Harvard, and you actually get an accredited certificate of completion. It's not a credit course, but a certificate of completion. And that I found out like close to a decade ago, and I still take classes and seminars every semester.
Word.
Courses to do right now. But yeah, put you all in game. That's what it is.
Somebody put in the comments, yes, but those same people will spend $3K on a Gucci bag. Can we talk about that?
Oh, can I leave? Can I start that one?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
So that is what always got me, right? I'm trying to start this business. I want to do this and that. And I consult. I do big corporate consulting and I do small mom and pop consulting. The price ranges are completely different. So with the small mom and pop, yeah, we're looking to, you know, do this. We want to grow. We want to make $100,000. Cool. How do you want to make that? You said you want to make $100,000. Do you know how much money it will take for an investment for you to make $100,000? No, I don't know all that. Okay. You got an iPhone? Yeah. How much Apple stock do you have? None. Oh, but you have the new phone. Yes. Do you know, instead of buying that new phone, you could have bought 10 shares of Apple stock and that stock is going to be worth more than that phone is in 6 months? No. Okay, cool. Let's get back to it. You said you don't have the money for this, this, and this. Let's run over some of your recent purchases. Chick-fil-A, KFC, Starbucks. It's like, you really seem to support big brands. I don't see any small businesses on here.
Right.
There's everything that you didn't see value. You saw value in convenience when you left home and realized you wanted a coffee. And you said, hey, faster to drive through this drive-through, spend $8 every day for a month instead of making coffee at home for $20 for the whole month.
Yeah.
So what that is, they just see the value because that value of a $3,000 bag is a symbol. They can tote around like, look, I got this. I got money. I got it. You can tell because you know what this is.
Yeah. Absolutely. Orchids and Sweet Tea said, I honestly don't think it's a black or white thing. I do think it's based on what people find as valuable. And that's exactly what I was going to say. I am not here to tell anyone how to spend their money. So let me just say, first and foremost, if you want to buy a Gucci bag, more power to you, because ain't nobody going to stop me from buying whatever sneakers I want to buy, right? Long as I got the money, I ain't hurting nobody. That's what I'm going to do. However, I think when we talk about value, I think the conversation gets stuck on price and not, and what I think the focus should be on mentality. Value is less about money and more about your mentality and what matters to you. So if being seen as a person that carries around luxury bag handbags is a value to you, right? If that's of high value to you, then $3,000 is a small investment in that overall, you know, state of being that you want to present. Same thing with someone who wants to be really good at barbecue, right? The ideal for me of spending $100 in wood sounds insane to me. Insane. But I know.
Insane to me too, because you can't get no wood for $100 now.
There we go, right? See, that tells you how much I know, right? I don't know none of this stuff, right? But to your point, if somebody says that this is the kind of work that they want to do, and they out here talking about, yeah, I'm going to just buy me some wood for like $100. You know that they're not really studying the game. Like, this isn't really of high value to you.
Yeah.
That's where we are when it comes to Black-owned restaurants. That's why my account exists. That's why I'm trying to, like, push a different narrative, is that I can't control that some people only value Black meals at $12 a plate, $15 a plate, $20 a plate. I can't control that, right? What I can do is show you reasons why you are missing out by limiting yourself to only giving $20 to a Black person for food, right? Yeah. Like, that's my, it's not my job to make someone in this live change their mind. That ain't my job. My job is to present the information in hopes that you radicalize yourself. Because if you radicalize yourself, then it'll be an internal thing. Now your value is different because you decided that your value was different, not because I'm that damn convincing. That's not what I'm trying to do. I'm not trying to trick nobody. The name tells you exactly what you're getting yourself into. Like, there's no trickery here, bro. I'm doing this to give you less reasons to be able to say, oh, my limit is $25 or $30. I don't give Black person $30. Did you see that woman I posted last week with the Jordan 13 cake? You can't get that shit for $13, bro. Like, eventually, I'm going to keep showing you shit where your mind is going, one of these plates going to make you be like, all right, well, fuck it. We got to spend that 50, right? And that's the win. That's the win. That's what I'm trying to affect change in. It's like the daily ideal of what we are willing to consider as valuable as it relates to Black cuisine. That's what I'm trying to affect.
No, and you got to remove try, because you are doing. You are, my brother. I had an older gentleman put me on game maybe 10, 12 years ago. He said, remove try out of your vernacular. And he said, remove should out of your vernacular. Something should it work. It either does or it doesn't. And you should either are or you aren't. That's it. And you know.
Didn't they say that in Amistad? Like, there's the African tribe that was captured. It was like, we don't have a word for try.
Yeah.
It's either you're going to get us out or you're not going to get us out. We don't even have a word in our language for try.
Because we make things happen. No, I 100% agree. And it is somewhat disconcerting to hear that she was getting such response. Mm-hmm. Cheers, because like you said, it's important and it's great when we can be in those rooms. And I'll never forget, we'll go back to, you know, Professor Hove on this one, when he's talking about everyone's tripping, oh, you got 1% of a billion, 1% of a billion is more than people ever see. You know, there, you can't, ain't no one on the face of this planet can call a play from the parking lot.
Right. Right.
Nothing you can do. Nothing. Right. You can be mad all the way over there by yourself, but it's nothing you can do from the parking lot.
And oh, even that's good.
You can yell amongst other people, still can't call a play.
Nothing, yeah, bro.
There is an element that comes with being in the room and understanding the importance of not the fact that you were allowed in there because you earned your way into that room. Right. When you enter that room, you have to be cognizant enough to shut up and listen. Mm. You were good enough to get in that room, but you probably aren't fully actually there yet to put that room together yourself. And there's nothing wrong with it. I've been in rooms where I might as well just been a, because I'm like, how is everyone treating everyone else? Because in 5 seconds, you can tell who the power mover is.
Yeah.
You walk last in a room, you can tell who actually has the power in the room because of how everyone else reacts.
Right.
The gesture, everyone like comes to attention. One person says something, or someone who may not even be at the head says something, and everyone shuts up.
Right. Yeah. Right.
And you start to realize, all right, so this is how you put these things together. I'm putting on a festival next year. How do you put on a barbecue festival? You go to a lot of festivals.
Right.
And what the experience is as a customer, then you partake in a lot of festivals. So you know what it's like for the guys you're going to bring in. Then you partner with brands who put it on that want you to go out there on their behalf. I'm like, okay, now I get all these pieces. I saw what worked. I saw what didn't work. Let's go for it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a beautiful thing, first of all, that we live in a place, in a space and time where someone can make a living strictly off their phone. Yeah. Right? And I think, though, because our phones are so ubiquitous, I think everybody thinks that the business that we are in is also easy because it's easy to maneuver your phone. And how you maneuver your phone and how you run your business are two different things. And I think you've touched on a lot of good mindset, quotes about mindset and how you go about things that I hope people are taking from our conversations, just like, consistency and putting yourself out there and being confident about your pricing. And, you know, like, one thing I do want to say is, if anybody has questions, I do try to answer them. If you ask good questions, I will answer. I will do my best to answer. Yeah. I get way too many DMs to just be answering all the dumb questions that I get. But, like, if you ask good questions, I think you'll get good answers. I want to make sure that, you know, before we depart, because it's almost an hour, I just want to make sure that people understand all of this. Like, it's not one magic thing. It's consistency. It's distinguishability. It's knowing what, you know, being in the game so you can learn the game, like you said. And it's those soft skills, bro. Like, that you hit that mug on the head, because most business is not done via this app, bro. When you see the partnership, that came from a whole bunch of Zooms or in-person meetings or phone calls and emails. Like, business is still handled in real life.
Yes.
It may be shown on Instagram, but, like, all the stuff you talked about soft skills and knowing what it's like to be a participant, knowing what it's like to be a judge, knowing what, like, those skills still translate to what we do on the internet. And I just want to make sure everybody understands that, too.
No, yeah, I completely agree. And it's like, trust, you put it beautifully, by the time the audience sees it, it's been going on for months.
Right.
And someone, I can't find, and if you're still listening, if you're in here, someone mentioned the hard part about being in this food business and in the Black space food business is a lot of their audience are freebie seekers, and they're taking, you know. You are probably aware, just as I am, as the issue that's going on with Kitchenista, you know, with her content, you know, being taken and basically plagiarized as someone else's. And it is a very tough space to be in now because everything's digital. Yeah. You can spot anything, you can screen record, you can just put a erase, a watermark, whatever. That's why if you aren't going to invest into that, and this is for everyone in here, if you aren't going to invest in that black business, do me a favor. Keep swiping. Don't judge. But if you have the thought of, oh, I can do this or I can do it better, do it. Invest in yourself and do it. That's what I want you to do. Don't go tear down the next person because they are in the act of doing. And instead of you seeing them do, it caused inspiration. It in turn ended up causing jealousy or some illicit feeling. Take that and do with it. That's what that really catalyst for me saying, okay, I'm going to push the barbecue fully. I've gone to buddies. They take me for barbecue. It was supposed to be the go-to spot for barbecue in Georgia. I left hungry and disappointed. I was like, what? The day I got a couple of ribs from Home Depot. We fired them up. We cooked. We filmed it. And we just kept doing. So
I will say that one thing that I'd like to add before we go to what has already been said here is that just because we're out here telling y'all that, you know, that you should support black businesses and we gave you a bunch of reasons why you should, I do want black business owners, myself included, to remember we are not above critique. Right? Like, we are not above critique. And yeah, sometimes people be hating, but sometimes even the worst person on the planet can make a good point. Right? There's a phrase that even a blind pig can find the acorn in the mud sometimes. And so, you know, if you're really looking at your comments, not just for positive feedback, not just for that dopamine, but if you're really looking to grow your business, the comments will give you a really good direction on, you know, how well you're doing. And so there are times in my comments that I don't get a lot of favorable comments, and I can glean positivity from that, like, okay, enough people said this, I probably should try this. Or maybe I should not do this. Maybe I should be more mindful about that, or whatever the case may be. So, yeah, we want y'all to support black people and let the price be the price. And, you know, try not to complain online about pricing. However, if you are paying for a good or a service and you don't feel like you got what you deserve, you have every right to say whatever you need to say, right? Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, more importantly, our business owners know the customer is not always right, but sometimes you be wrong too. So, like, just have grace for them. The way you want them to have grace for you. And hopefully we can build a positive ecosystem where we just continuously support each other on habit.
No, I agree. I agree. It's very big. And I think at the root of all of it is just going to take an immense amount of education from those who are coming to look to for them to self-explore and to discover what's out there and why that is. Because it's very easy to say, like, why would you charge 28 pounds for brisket when you can go to the store and it's $5.99 or $7.99? I have to charge 28 pounds for brisket because at the store it's $7.99. Because let me tell you why. Do you know what a P&L statement is? No? Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Do you understand how pricing strategies and forecasts work? No? Right. Okay. Cool. Do you know that you get a 20-pound brisket, I'll only end up having 8 pounds of it when it's cooked to serve? So I've lost 12 pounds of it already. No? Okay. Cool. Things like that. People just don't know. So used to, like, it's there. That's why I harp and say, like, you know, if you're in this field, if you want to tote that title of a pitmaster, know how to butcher.
Yeah.
Know how to tree. Be a harp. Understand how fire works, because once you understand all aspects, you're able to make things work. Like, I was able to make my prices because I source my own wood. I cut down trees, I split it, And that is a huge cost savings. Huge. I've never bought wood.
Wow.
Never bought wood. Up until last year, I would drive around with my chainsaw, my axe, and my mule in my truck with me whenever I was out and about. And I, if I saw a fell tree, go knock on the door. I'm like, hey, you guys need to get rid of that? Yeah, cool. Boom, I got it. Boom, 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 knock it out. I'll take an hour and a half to cut it up and load it because that's saving me $900 to $1,200 for that much wood once it's ready to use. Now imagine you do that once a week for 3 months and just let it ride through the summer. You got all your fuel supply for the season.
Mm.
There you go. But you've got to educate yourself in order to understand where these opportunities.
Can I ask you a question? I know I keep saying we about to go, but let me just ask you a question.
I got some liquor in my cup, so I'm good.
Yeah, I got some liquor too, but I definitely need to eat because I haven't eaten in a while. So when you talk about education,
yeah,
do you think that there should be a little bit more responsibility on business owners to educate why their price is the price? Or is it, or is the price, like, can we just stand on that? Should there be more education or should we just stand on the price of the price?
When was the last time McDonald's ran a banner explaining why they had to increase their price?
I don't think I've ever seen one, sir.
There we go. When was the last time and you saw any food corporation saying, hey, we're increasing our price, and this is why, this is our cost breakdown, and this is that.
Mm.
I'll never forget what pushed me over the edge. My buddy Jody, we've been friends 10 plus years now. He said, Sheed, you've got the talent, you've got the smart, but you've got to stop thinking like mom and pop, and you need to think like a corporation.
Mm.
If I want, not even just to be perceived, but if I want to move and navigate as such, I have to act as such and run my as such. So I can't stop to tell every customer why this is this. Can't. I just can't. You know.
That's a good point.
But you address it as it comes. Like, we had gotten maybe like 6 or 7 emails. My guys ran to me like, hey, people are concerned about shipping times. Cool. I went out. I said, hey, guys. It was either I raised the price of my product or I picked a different shipping option that takes it 2 more days to get there. You decide. That was it. But aside from that, I'm not explaining. Why? Because when I go pick up a car, they're not explaining it to me. When I go to Kroger, they're not explaining it to me. When I go to a restaurant, they're not explaining it to me. No one's telling me why I'm paying more. I just have to pay more. That's just right. The price. Yeah. And here's my thing too, on that. When do you go to an establishment and ask for a discount that does not provide coupons that you can bring in?
Mm-hmm.
So why would you go to another business? And that's why I always say business, because I don't believe anyone is a small business. Mm-hmm. Apple, a garage with 4 buddies. That's definitely not a small business.
Now. Right, right, absolutely.
Then so, it was a business.
I'll
drop the medium, drop the large. You're a business.
Yeah,
that's what it is. You are a business, point blank, period. That's what it is. So you've got to think that way. You have to move that way, and you have to understand and realize there's certain things that come with being a business, and there's certain things that you're just like, no, I just don't really have to deal with this. I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
Keep it moving. If you don't want it, and I did a blog post about this a while ago, not every customer is your customer. There's 7 people in the world. You are not going to please all of them.
Right. Yeah, fair.
It's not. Fair. Those who see your value will, without question, get it. My last 2 pop-ups were orders from people who drove from North Carolina down to get there. They were the first ones in line. And easily both times their orders for the first order of the day cleared $700.
Wow.
I didn't say anything. I'm not questioning it. I'm like, no, guys, don't. No, no, they did their thing, right? I'm doing mine. If yeah. I go to your business, I'm a support. No matter what it is, I'm a support. I'm not, let's say you put up something tomorrow, you're doing a taste. I'm not going to go, hey, KJ, man, hey, can I get a discount on that? Like, you yeah. know, no.
Right.
That's insulting.
Right, right.
As is, I don't respect you enough for you to treat me like you treat everyone else. Mm. I want special privilege. Mm. That's not my jam.
Word, word. Well, that was a beautiful answer to that question. I appreciate you for even taking time out of your schedule, sir. I won't even say busy, out of your productive schedule to chat with your boy.
No, I appreciate it, brother. Like I said, that comment, that post, I was like, ooh, this is good. Like, yeah. Very few, like, stuff like that. That just stopped me. I was like, man. Like, I was following that completely. I was like, yeah, there's so much.
Yeah.
So much with that. And it is it's a horrible thing, but it is changing. It's very minuscule in its change, but it is changing.
Absolutely.
Sure. And right. I just do your flowers on here because, brother, you have been working. And I don't even want to leave it at that. I want to say you have been working with passion, confidence, and most importantly, intent. Mm. And oftentimes left out of a task or goal that people do. And I have to say, whether it's your stories or whether it's a post, a reel or a live, your intent always shows. It is crystal clear what you're doing, and I've not seen you waver at all.
Like, it's never, stop, won't stop, bro.
There it is. Like, there's nothing that's been like, oh, because once you know what I'm about to say, you'll understand it. Once you're behind the curtain, you can sort of see, like, that ain't him.
That's real.
I know.
It's been
great seeing that, and it's guys like you that are doing this, that are inspiring others to act intently. And I just love it, brother. I had to give you your flowers now. I know it's no James Beard plaque, but you know it's a couple of words from a giant.
It's all good, bro. There are people who give a shit about you that don't know who I am. So to hear you say that about me, they'd be like, "Oh, I'm gonna take that guy seriously." No, cosign. Take that.
Without a doubt, I love it. And like you said, you're right, because I'm one of those cats that jump up. I'm like, yo, what she got for me today?
Mm. And consistency, baby.
It is. And you are that. You are that. And
thank you.
And full consistency. Keep killing it, my brother.
Appreciate you, y'all. Everybody have a good night. I'm about to go get something to eat and go to sleep.
Grub, going grub. I got emails and work to do, and then I'm out for it. But I thank you for taking the time, my man. You enjoy the rest of your evening.
My pleasure. Be well.
All right, brother. Yeah.